Every day it's the same. On the US side there are patrols, helicopters and searchlights, white jeeps parked on the bluff, their occupants surveying Mexico, and the sweat and grime of a border crossing. A tall corrugated iron fence marks the divide, stretching right out into the ocean. On the Mexican side, the fence is covered with graffiti and slogans, El Mundo Dividido, and Welcome to the New Berlin Wall. Our bus passes through the checkpoint and drives on past hawkers selling papier-mâché. The highway crosses a ravine, spilling shanty dwellings, and skirts past an incongruous green mansion with icing pink and white domes. We enter the border town of Tijuana, known widely as a funnel for a continent's drug traffic, for its cheap and freely available sex, and in more recent years, as a kind of international alternative health mecca for those with too much money or too much desperation. A few days ago, surrounded by lists of things to be done, I realised I don't want to go. I don't want to go through this. I've had a chronic illness for 22 years, since I was 10, which has meant that I'm usually in pain and always exhausted. For 4 years, I was almost permanently in bed. One of the best decisions I made 10 years ago was to start using a wheelchair, as it means I can now do more. What really confines me is the way people are determined to cast me as a victim. Trips to the doctors and alternatives have produced few results, so reluctantly I've been persuaded to try further afield, a clinic in northern Mexico, which offers a mixture of orthodox and alternative treatments, many of which have yet to be legalized in the US. I've no idea whether it will help, or whether it's the right thing to do, but I've no idea what else is left. I want to be clear. I'm looking to be well, not cured, not to become someone or something other than myself. Sunday, 28th July. Jude, my sister, and her partner Ryan drove Mum and me down to the Southern Californian border town of San Isidro. The place we're staying, home for the next few weeks, is the International Motor Inn, which is about as close to the border as you can get. The Motel Cum RV Park is an intriguing 50-50 mix, the halt and the lame, here to visit the secular lords of the Americas, alongside the regular holiday makers, here for the advantages of San Diego without the expense. What, I wonder, do they make of us? The motel has half a dozen courtesy buses, which provide a shuttle service across the border for those of us in search of our miracles. Half a block from here, across a 100-yard dust driftland, is the border fence, Tijuana rising beyond. At the end of an alley is a sprawling, seemingly all-American shopping mall, vast, sun-baked parking lots, single-story megastores. There's Kmart, a kind of shambolic Woolies, goods strewn across the aisles, which stretch to the horizon. We found ourselves an old-fashioned kettle and a couple of cheap mugs, so now we can make tea. Monday, 29th July, 7 a.m. I'm lying here thinking, well, at least it's a beautiful day. It takes time to take this sun for granted. We board our respective buses. The number 9 has a wheelchair lift, and 8 of us sit in our own little glass-walled worlds to make the daily circuit of the 30-odd clinics. I entwine my fingers in the spokes of my wheelchair because it soothes, and I close my eyes as we travel through border control and into Tijuana. Dr. Andrade's clinic is surrounded by building frenzy, drilling and hammering that rattles the paper-thin partitions. It can't be long before his clear view to the Pacific is obscured. On three sides, the view is of colourful tumbling houses, mountains and ocean haze. Dr. Andrade strides in shortly after nine, beaming at everyone and shaking hands all round. In his consulting room is a mass of photographs, grateful patients, some alongside Dr. Andrade, who sticks out his chest, throws back his head and beams like a genial, bountiful Father Christmas. The basic pattern of treatment is a course of daily intravenous infusions of vitamins, enzymes and other medicines designed to deal with toxins and viruses and strengthen the immune system. No suitable veins could be found for the insertion of a drip, so it was decided that I would need a subclavian catheter inserted. That's into my chest, under my collarbone, and into a particularly large blood vessel near my heart. School biology has never seemed so real, and this is my first day. 8 inches of flexible plastic tubing curling into my bosom. The procedure over, and Alfredo, Dr. Andrade's assistant, helped me to get dressed and back into my chair, and then the adventure really began. I just started keeling over all over the place. Couldn't sit up, couldn't open my eyes, and every time I breathed, I coughed, breathed and coughed. Rapid-fire, three-way conversations in Spanish went on over my head. I half-sat, half-lay on the treatment room chair, lurching in and out of consciousness, aware that Mum's close by, and wanting to look at her and say, it's okay, and I wish you didn't have to see this, and thinking, oh, I'm so glad you're here. Soon it transpires that they're concerned the needle might have punctured my lung, and I was transported down in the elevator, and we squeezed into Dr. Andrade's tiny, dusky blue VW Beetle. Then we're bouncing through the streets, although somehow I missed all the sights, for an X-ray at the Oasis Hospital. The X-ray, thankfully, proved reassuring. My lung is grazed, not punctured. Since I've been ill, my body goes into shock much more readily. Any kind of treatment, even as mild as going to the dentist, has a pretty profound effect. Still, I was left thinking, what have I let myself in for? Dr. Andrade found a sofa for me to lie on to wait for the bus, and over that hour my queasiness began to ease. By late afternoon it had all but solved itself. Tuesday, 30th July. I've just signed an alarming paper, which means I've acknowledged that they might not cure me. Fair enough. That the treatment is experimental, and that I forego the right to sue if they make me worse. When they produced the form, my heart contracted. I'm sure the usual routine was to produce it on day one, but from where I sat, it felt like, we nearly killed her yesterday. Get her to sign, quick, before the next disaster. An infusion of vitamin C, okay. Vitamin B complex, glucose and insulin mixture, less good. Ozone, which is surprisingly part of the treatment, administered very slowly. It seemed to go fine, then I felt a little odd, before splurging into a coughing fit in which I struggled for breath, tears streaming, for hours. I wondered this morning when I will have my first journey into Mexico with my eyes open. There was a long wait at the border, sitting in full sun. The tall white border guards, in reflective glasses and reflective white shirts, ordered us fairly civilly to show our passports or declare ourselves US citizens. Our Mexican-American driver got very different treatment. The immigration officer hurled abuse at him before demanding to know his nationality. There's certainly an arrogance about the US. All right, so as Mum points out, some would call it confidence. But in the current media coverage of the Olympics, medalists from outside the United States often don't appear on the screen or are even cut out of the picture during medal ceremonies. And the international news reminds me of the Siamese map of the world in The King and I, with the Empire of Siam magnified and full centre, and the rest of the world grouped round in a scattering of islands. I was practically lifted onto my bed for the afternoon. Now my colour is better, although I'm very tired. Feeling lousy. Wednesday, 31st July. On the US side of the border, there are signs along the freeway, reminiscent of the British school road signs, but with an added urgency. Three figures, black silhouettes on yellow, a man, a woman, a child, are fleeing. To escape the law, illegal immigrants have been known to run across 8 lanes of fast-moving traffic. Drivers are warned to be alert. For the half mile leading to the checkpoint, a high mesh fence divides the two sides of the highway. The authorities have planted clematis to beautify it. Just before entering Mexico, after a host of directional signs, there is a final notice, almost too late. No U-turn to the USA. I had my second ozone treatment about an hour ago. Dr. Andrade decided first to demonstrate the machine, just to show me how effective it is. The machine sits in a picnic hamper-sized dark green metal suitcase, perched on top of the fridge in the treatment room. The lid is raised to reveal a small oxygen cylinder with a short hose. Dr. Andrade switched on the machine, which converts oxygen to ozone, and held his latex gloves over the hose outlet. "See how safe," he cried, as I watched his gloves disintegrate into ribbons before evaporating completely just moments later. Now how that was supposed to reassure me, I couldn't work out. What he hadn't told me was that the ozone targets artificial fibres and viruses and not human tissue. Today, Dr. Andrade took the treatment oh so slowly. He even hummed to me a little. It eased it all, so that I came through mostly unscathed this time. "My body is a temple," says a woman on the telly. Thursday, 1st August. My eyes stayed firmly shut on the journey to and from the clinic. A woman in the bus was describing a poster advertising Juan Travolta in a 70s retro movie, El Vaselino. Dr. Andrade is fairly hard-line about the border. "There's work in Mexico if people want it," he says, "and no need for illegal crossings." But Alberto, his assistant, tells how his family crossed the border, relying on fake documents and nerves of steel. He got an education there from the age of 12, until he was old enough to make his own decision, when he escaped back home. Friday, 2nd August. I returned yesterday from the clinic, had 3 naps and still slept at night. It's pretty much all I want to do, left in my pit of a bed, ruched sheets, scattered books and diaries, pairs of dark glasses and splints surrounding me, just sleeping the days away. So many questions. Will I improve? What does improve mean? My choice of words is careful. I don't talk about it working, but about it helping. With most other people here, I'm sure it's different. Their judgment about whether it's worked will be in terms of virtual miracles. And their marker of progress is sure to be the big W, is she walking? As ever, my only relevant markers are activity levels. Can I work? Can I love? Can I have a baby? Will I feel less exhausted? The number 9 bus was broken down this morning, so I had to climb onto a non-lift bus. Then it was a bum shuffle up the 6 steps into the clinic, and that was me finished. I'm behaving badly today. I've had enough. I don't want to talk to anyone. Saturday, 3rd August. Songs pop into my head. The other day, it was "Oh, What a Night." This morning, "I've Got You Under My Skin." "So deep in the heart of me, you're nearly a part of me." "My drip still there beneath my clavicle." Sunday, 4th August. Through this treatment, I've been reduced to thinking I want my mum, even with her sitting just across the motel room. It certainly brings me right down to an infantile level. A sliver of melon, ready cut. And mum's trying to tempt me with a half slice of toast now, cut into soldiers. I tell her soon she'll be singing me nursery rhymes, and then in a flash of inspiration, I realise the origins of the toast that accompanies the childhood boiled egg. all those soldiers lined up in a row, unable to put Humpty together again. I have never been so surrounded by, so acutely aware of disease and decay as now. And from the proceeds of all us disintegrating individuals are built the dozens of clinics, research institutes and biotech labs of Tijuana and the Western States, those multi-million dollar gleaming windowed temples to health. Monday, 5th August. I thought I would wear my brightly coloured hooped Miro earrings today, just to say here I am, but even these lightweight loops of wire are too heavy. I haven't the strength for fashion statements, so I've taken them off. A consultation with Dr. Andrade, in which he says I need to cooperate with him, turfs me into turmoil. Surely I'm doing all I can. How can I do more? But later it seems it's more a misunderstanding than an instruction, a combination of my hard conditioning and our different languages. All he means is it's proving tough to crack. We must work on it together. He goes on to say he will not give up, and smiles, a wide smile. It begins to feel okay. Later, he says he might take me out to a beach, so I can try walking in some sand. I don't know whether to believe him, whether it's a flash in the pan, blurted out and wished unspoken, or whether he means it. I'm not sure how I feel about it. Tuesday, 6th August. As ever, my mind runs far ahead of my body. Pride comes before a fall, as I've found out before, but I can't switch my mind off. If I get weller, this will not be some blaze of glory or victory parade, but a slow, timid emerging. Behaving differently in front of people, who've always had their own ideas of what I'm like, because to them I've always been that way, will be tough. I would have so much learning to do, relearning, growing up. It had never dawned on me, until Mum said it, that so will she. For her, it would be the first time that both her daughters would actually have flown the nest, and she would have to learn how to behave without parental responsibilities, long after her contemporaries. A journey across the border, with dark glasses, one eye part open, part of the time. Progress. I see the sand of the hills and the uneven rusting of the barricade. In Mexico, little clusters of people gazing into California. Dr. Andrade mentioned walking again. Tomorrow is 10 years of using a wheelchair, and I intend to mark it somehow. Perhaps a sip of wine, a few steps in the sand, and a demonstration wheelie is fitting. That way I keep all my options open. Wednesday, 7th August. Dr. Andrade had an injured foot, so no beach trip and no wheelies, and the antibiotics rule out alcohol. I marked my 10th wheelchair anniversary in my head. It was significant, just not auspicious. Thursday, 8th August. A better day. Dr. Andrade suggests I take a week off before continuing treatment. I think they've been disconcerted not to see me responding more rapidly. It looks as though I'm rather iller than they first thought. I think all this has gone on for years longer than I ever realised. I remember a mountain walk. Mum, Dad, Sister Jude and Jackie Dakin. Me dragging behind and whinging because I was too tired, because it hurt, and being told not to be a baby because everyone else was striding out. And then late teens, walking down Park Street in Bristol to Broadmead, and my legs aching so much. I thought everyone's legs ached like that. Perhaps I was unfit, or it was my shoes. I didn't think it wasn't meant to be that way. Saturday, 10th August. 6 a.m. and a morning that evokes early November school day mornings. Snug in bed, curtain open to the half light, street lamp, chill to the air, and the battering of rain. Then I remember that the rain is the roar of air conditioning fans, and the haze will have burned off by late morning to blue and sun. Mum has produced a wall chart of dosages, and I thought I'd got a week off. Sunday, 11th August. 67 pills, 40 injections, 25 to 30 drip bags, 15 bruises, 14 days coughing, and a whole day of mostly sleeping, so far. Sunday, 18th August. Jude and Ryan arrived yesterday evening for 24 hours. We visited the House of Pacific Relations in San Diego, a village of front rooms all under separate roofs and kitted out from selected countries around the world. Each house is adopted by a couple or family group who deck it out according to their own nationality or heritage. The nations represented were pretty much white, as were the people strolling through, and I guess it's the latter that determines which nations are selected. The idea is to go round and view pictures from Poland and gaze on currency from the Czech Republic, to share a cup of tea or an indigenous morsel, and then emerge to world peace and international harmony. In Scotland, our guide sported an ancestral kilt and a US accent. This being the United States and the Americans with Disabilities Act in force, I was able to take my world tour pretty much unimpeded. Until England. England's two-stepped entrance kept me firmly on the outside, which really seemed to say it all. Tuesday, 20th August. On the bus, I'm beginning to take more notice of the journey. In the front courtyard of a hospital, on the clinic circuit, I see a 20-foot wire mesh dome filled with the flutterings and chitterings of brilliantly plumaged canaries. I've no idea whether they're native to Mexico, but I feel a need coming upon myself to buy a pair of wire cutters. I could not come here every day and restrain myself. Wednesday, 21st August. I'm still deeply tired and awake feeling exhausted, but I improve as the morning wears on. What's more, the previous day's exertion seems to clear overnight, which is a new experience. Wednesday, 28th August. Autumn is coming here. It's Labor Day on the US side of the border, the official end of summer. Temperatures are dropping slightly. The sunset is earlier. Air conditioners roar a little less at night. Really a good day, it transpires. I kept going and going. Thursday, 29th August. 1 week from today I will have finished here. Dr. Andrade wants me to walk, just a little, and then just a little more each day, and it smiles all round if I do. But for me, the reservations are, as always, that walking brings pain and exhaustion. They don't seem to consider whether or not it's appropriate to me. There's a pressure in other people's expectations. They think they want me to walk for me, but really they want me to walk for them. With such an intensive course of treatment, the clinic wants something to celebrate. Walking is their marker of progress because it's tangible, but really other things matter more. It's work and love and life that I'm after, and I can do that sitting down. Thursday, 5th September. This morning, our last clinic morning, Mum spent at the pharmacy with a sheaf of prescriptions, supplements of minerals and vitamins, repeat courses of antibiotics, anti-inflammatories for joints and muscles. And on her return, she drew up my drink, pill and jab schedules, daily, weekly and occasional. Treatment complete for the day, my doctor drove us out along the coast. On the journey, I felt I should sound lively and interested, so I was lining up questions and conversations as we drove. And then when Dr. Andrade mentioned that I might like to relax, as we had an 80-kilometre drive ahead of us, I realised that I couldn't keep up the pretence any longer, leaned back against the headrest, and gazed out of the window. That was the beginning of being myself. We went to Puerto Nuevo's lobster village, where every single restaurant in the settlement sells the stuff. They feasted on that, I on rice, beans and tortilla, and we all drank down the local Tecate beer. Next, the beach, and through a mixture of them hauling and me bum-shuffling, I was transported over the rocks and down to the water. And then I was up and paddling and enjoying the forgotten sensation of heels sinking in the sand. In a sense, I walked for the hell of it, and not because it meant a great deal to me. But I know that it still matters greatly to Dr. Andrade, and I suppose in a way it was my thank you gift to him, even though I knew that later I'd be completely exhausted. But Dr. Andrade has gradually come to understand that it's not as simple as treatment and effect. Does this whirring sound mean the camera's taking pictures? Called Dr. Andrade, as he shot the entire reel and it rewound into the spool. Are you sure this man's a doctor? Asked Jude when I relayed the tale. And then we sat back in the sand, burrowing and wriggling toes. There we were, in a row, three adults spanning three decades, sculpting and swirling and scooping out the damp sand. Back in Bristol, everyone seemed to think that I'd been for a three-week bullet cure. Isn't that great? Why aren't I up and jumping? Or else they've completely forgotten what I went for, and did I have a nice holiday, and how come I haven't got a better suntan? 10 months later, I call Dr. Andrade. How are you, Lise? He asks. I tell him the positive side of how I've improved. Everything, in fact, apart from the issue of walking. And how's the walking? He asks. But we both know that walking isn't the grand finale. I was never after some kind of miracle cure. I wanted a life, my life, back. And I feel the very beginnings of that life returning,